pull through, Queen. What higher praise, right?
Pull on through.
It's The Current's Music News, the weekly podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today's Wednesday, June 12th, getting this one out a little bit early this week. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade, and we're going to be checking out the latest releases from some big names like Bruce Springsteen and Madonna. And we're checking out a joint project that's been 14 years in the making, plus a conversation with Ezra from Vampire Weekend.
But first, let's look back at this week in music history. All right, this is going out of chronological order, but I want to get to this one first because I'm so excited about it. This week in 1982, Neil Diamond went to the movies as the third wheel on a date with then-married couple Burt Bacharach and Carol Bayer Sager. They must have all cried their eyes out because they went home and wrote a song about the movie they saw together, E.T. the Extraterrestrial. The song, called Heartlight, became the title track for an album Neil Diamond released that fall. It pretty much tells the story of the movie E.T., and it became the last top five hit of Neil Diamond's career. To use the terms and ideas from the movie, Neil Diamond actually did have to pay Universal Studios $25,000. Bargain.
Turn on your heartlight, let it shine wherever you go. For all the world to see.
Also this week in 1966, at the Avalon Ballroom in San Francisco, they welcomed to the stage Big Brother and the Holding Company, and this was the very first time that the band performed with their new singer, a folk singer named Janis Joplin. Sam Andrew, he's the founding member, guitarist, and main songwriter for the band. He had convinced the young singer to join their band instead of joining her fellow Texans in the band 13th Floor Elevator. Joplin would put out two albums with the band, including the semi-live album Cheap Thrills. That's the album that gave us Joplin's iconic version of Summertime and Peace of My Heart. And then she and Andrew would leave the band to pursue a solo career for Joplin.
This week in 2002, American Idol debuted on Fox. Simon Fuller's U.S. version of the British show Pop Idol, the singing competition immediately became a sensation, with a big winner right out of the gate. Kelly Clarkson won the first season, and later seasons launched stars including Carrie Underwood, Taylor Hicks, and Jordan Sparks. After Fox dropped the show in 2016, ABC grabbed it for a successful revival that launched last year. Here's Kelly Clarkson singing one of the songs that helped clinch it for her, A Moment Like This.
A moment like this, some people wait a lifetime. For a moment like this, some people search forever for that one special kiss.
Okay, let's talk about a few of this week's music news headlines. It's the name of the podcast, after all, right? Synth-pop duo Holy Ghost are joining criticisms of the Chicago White Sox for plans to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the infamous Disco Demolition Night. This Thursday, the White Sox are handing out t-shirts to remember the infamous 1979 incident when the team invited fans to bring disco records to demolish and a melee ensued.
Let's destroy some music tonight. Yeah, that's going to cause a little bit of an uproar.
On Instagram, Holy Ghost wrote, "It's widely understood that the original Disco Demolition felt to many like a direct attack on the gay, black, and Latino communities who pioneered disco. The White Sox want to celebrate that moment, and in doing so, trigger pain instead of healing it." Only four of the five Spice Girls are on tour this year, but all five have agreed to participate in an upcoming animated movie that will combine the girl group's classic hits with new songs based on a story idea from the singers themselves.
I love that Posh is like, I'm not going to go on tour with you guys, but if I can casually, at my leisure, go into a studio, maybe voice something, sure.
Also, got an idea for a sequel to Spice World. Here it is. Been sitting on it. Well, according to the head of Paramount Animation, the Spice Girls, quote, are very involved with the project, which could hit theaters as soon as next year. Guess I better see Spice World now.
Have you never seen
Spice World?
I've never
seen Spice
World. Oh my God, Jay!
I know. Rapper Bushwick Bill of the Houston hip-hop trio Ghetto Boys has died of pancreatic cancer at age 52. Ghetto Boys were among a host of popular, acclaimed, and controversial rap groups to emerge in the late 80s and early 90s as the genre matured and tackled tougher subject matter, and their explicit storytelling was a significant influence on Southern rap. Bushwick Bill's stark, violent, sometimes hallucinatory verses were an unmistakable part of Ghetto Boys' sound, and the fact that he was born with dwarfism and stood 3'8" helped make him instantly recognizable in the hip-hop world. In addition to his work with Ghetto Boys, Bushwick Bill released solo albums and appeared on Dr. Dre's classic LP, The Chronic. Here's Ghetto Boys' biggest hit, Mind Playing Tricks on Me.
Now I'm realizing that I love her. Now I'm feeling lonely. My mind is playing tricks on me.
Hacking seems to be the big fear in 2019. And, you know, musicians, they are not immune to it. Johnny Greenwood, the lead guitarist and keyboardist for Radiohead, took to the band's Facebook page to share some news. He wrote, "We got hacked last week. Someone stole Tom's mini disc archive from around the time of OK Computer and reportedly demanded $150,000 on threat of releasing it. So instead of complaining much or ignoring it, we're releasing all 18 hours on Bandcamp in aid of Extinction Rebellion. Just for the next 18 days, so for £18, you can find out if we should have paid that ransom. Never intended for public consumption, though some clips did reach the cassette in the OK Computer reissue. It's only tangentially interesting and very, very long." Which indeed it is. In fact, Tom York shared the audio on Radiohead's Bandcamp, and he wrote, "It's not very interesting. There's a lot of it."
And Jade, you are my hero for staying up all night last night and listening to all 18 hours. So you can tell us, is he right? Is it very interesting or no?
You know, it's a mix of snoozing and not. I mean, this is for the diehard Radiohead fans. So you can hear Tom York testing out some alternate versions of lyrics, some of them more successful than others. He jams out on a 12-minute version of Paranoid Android. And at various points, York yodels and, yes, beatboxes. One of the highlights, though, is an alternate version of Lift that has been a fan favorite from the OK Computer era.
So this is like, if you're a fan of Radiohead, like the kind of fans of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band who want audio of Little Steven tuning his mandolin before recording Glory Days, these are 18 hours for you.
Oh, 18 hours of joy.
It was the biggest disaster in the history of the music business, and almost nobody knew. That's how the New York Times begins a shocking report revealing that the irreplaceable master recordings of 500,000 songs were lost in a 2008 fire that consumed a vault of recordings at Universal Studios Hollywood.
And these weren't just Universal artists. This was a collection of small jazz labels and indie records. I mean, this is so much of music history that just is now gone.
The blaze itself was widely reported, but Universal successfully suppressed the fact that a casualty of the fire was this vault of music masters that included a vast swath of popular music history. We're talking about classic singles like Chuck Berry's Johnny B. Goode, Bill Haley's Rock Around the Clock, Jackie Brenston's Rocket 88. All three of those are leading contenders for the song that began the rock and roll era, and we've probably lost the master recordings now. The complete losses still aren't officially confirmed, but it's clear that the scope of the damage is hard to fathom.
And the fact that some of the artists didn't even know about it. REM just tweeted out that they had no clue and that their management has just reached out. And keep in mind that this happened in 2008, and the bands are finding out at the same time as the general public. It's shocking.
Someone tweeted at Chris Novoselic, so wait, the master recordings for Nevermind are gone? And he just had to respond, yeah, probably. That the artists, even artists like Nirvana, do not know what happened in this fire. When we were talking about almost all of Buddy Holly's masters, some of Aretha Franklin's earliest recordings, masters by Tupac, Nirvana, Ray Charles, Janet Jackson, The Police, Joni Mitchell, Aerosmith, the list just goes on and on.
This loss means that if they wanted to do a reissue of some of their music from the 80s that no one has heard before, we're not going to have those demo versions, those early masters. Those versions that we could hear brand new and updated, those are lost. That's gone. So unless they had a copy of those masters, it's lost and we'll never be able to hear those.
Yeah, so Questlove, for example, says, well, now fans know why a couple of the Roots albums haven't had the reissue treatment, because there's nothing to go back to. There's no master to make a new reissue from. The bonus tracks, the better quality audio, if they wanted to remix some of the tracks, all of that is at the very least much more complicated, if not impossible, with the master recordings gone. Well, in a statement, Universal Music says there are, quote, numerous inaccuracies, misleading statements, contradictions, and fundamental misunderstandings of the scope of the incident and affected assets. But the New York Times has receipts, so to speak. They have internal documents confirming the archive's destruction, and they did an extended interview with the archivist who maintained the tapes prior to their destruction. He's still pretty devastated about it, understandably. Here's one of the recordings that was almost certainly lost, along with the rest of the Chess Records catalog. Muddy Waters singing Sad, Sad Day.
Oh, sad, sad day. Since my baby, she went away.
Time to check out some new releases. Iron and Wine's Sam Bean has always liked to stretch outside of his comfort zone. Whether it's turning his songs into jazzy jams while on tour or working with others on a variety of projects. His first venture with Calexico came back in 2005, with Beam bringing his own lyrics and songs and Calexico building out the compositions to a shiny luster. It seems like it would just be another one-off in the long list of joint Iron and Wine projects, but now, 14 years later, the gang is back together, and this time it's a full collaboration between the old friends. It's a soothing and golden album, even on the pun titled Bittersweet.
Ice when yours, lost his elemental, salvajes para pasar.
For years, Bruce Springsteen has talked about an album of sweeping orchestral pop he's been sitting on, an LP with the flavor of classic California country. Now that he's off Broadway, his memoirs on the shelf, he's finally ready to turn his attention to new music. And so we're getting Western Stars, the Boss's 19th studio album and his first since 2014's High Hopes. The premise sounds pretty safe, but early listeners have been divided. Uproxx says it may be his best album of the 21st century, but hometown news site NJ.com calls it the biggest disappointment of the Boss's career, with lyrics that sound like Bruce Springsteen Mad Libs gone wrong. We'll all have a chance to decide for ourselves on Friday, but when you've had the kind of historic career Bruce has, it's got to be nice to get to age 69 and still be able to spark a deluge of opinions with every new record. Here's my favorite of the album's initial singles, There Goes My Miracle.
Mateel Brown grew up in rural Georgia on a working farm with her mother. She was raised on a steady dose of 60s folk, but once she moved to Atlanta, she broadened her musical base to include the White Stripes, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, and Outkast. For her own music, She sounds like a DIY garage rock version of Camera Obscura in songs like Keep the Change.
Just what did I get into? A hero walking on this floor. I thought it started as a daydream, but I'm not dreaming anymore. And it's the expectation making or breaking.
Okay, I actually looked this up. Madonna and Bruce Springsteen have been running the game together since the 80s, but they've never actually released new albums on the same date before. That all changes on Friday when Western Stars goes head-to-head with Madge's mysterious new project, Madam X. Madonna's gone into full character for this one, wearing an eye patch to become the title character, whose bio makes her sound kind of like Carmen Sandiego. But Madonna says the name was actually bestowed on her in 1981 by none other than Martha Graham. I have the feeling this is going to be a wild one. Check out the crazy song Dark Ballet, which Madonna says was inspired by A Clockwork Orange. There's an orchestra, a vocoder break, a spoken word interlude over a Nutcracker excerpt, and a video starring Mickey Blanco as a martyr in a cone bra. Basically, iconic.
It's a beautiful plan, but I'm not concerned. Oh yeah. It's a beautiful game that I never learned. People tell me
Vampire Weekend has a new album, Father of the Bride, and the band has been touring to support it. And while they stopped in Minnesota to play a sold-out show at the Armory, I spoke to Ezra, the lead singer and lyricist for Vampire Weekend, to talk a little bit about Vampire Weekend's new album and why there even is a new Vampire Weekend album in 2019.
The truth is, you know, this album, it didn't take 6 years to make, but it took 6 years to release. There's 6 years between the records. Cause like you said, I've been busy doing other stuff and also occasionally doing nothing. After all those years on the road, I wanted to chill. But it's always been important to me not to make an album just to make it. I still haven't found like a very eloquent way to put it. And other people have said this, you know, in so many words, that when you start a band, usually, or when you start making music, it's because you love music and you enjoy this kind of amateur project of cooking up songs and making up, you know, album covers. It's fundamentally an amateur proposition, and a lot of the best ideas come from young amateurs. And you can't help but get older, but you can still try to stop from becoming too professional. So I felt like after the third album, we were like threatening to become a little bit professional for my taste. And so many of my friends are music people or music industry people. Every time a song comes out, nobody's hitting me up just like, yo, check out this song. I really like it. People are like, oh, you hear that? You hear what that person's doing now? So, yeah, I asked myself, what's the point of making a Vampire Weekend record? Is it just a tour? I like touring when I like the album, you know, like I'm loving touring now because it's, especially with 18 songs, it's a long album. It's fun to drop different ones every night. But, you know, I don't love touring enough just to do it, just to make an album to tour. So then, yeah, I'd ask myself, what does a Vampire Weekend album mean when I'm over the age of 30? You know, like historically in music, most people run out of good ideas by the time they're about 25. And so you have to ask yourself, is there a version of this where we can age gracefully and I can talk about things that matter to me now, but still do stuff that feels innovative? So yeah, that was the question. And when I felt confident that the answer was yes, I can do all those things, then we really got the wheels in motion.
There is this thing that you've said in a couple of interviews. This is the Vampire Weekend world. Like, to make a Vampire Weekend song, it needs to be this plus this plus this.
Mm-hmm.
What is that world? Like, what is the Vampire Weekend world that you have in your mind?
It's hard to say. I mean, the kind of cheap answer is just, you know, I know it when I see it.
Yeah.
I've got a gut feeling about it. You know, in the early days, we were really pigeonholed. I mean, to be fair, we might have pigeonholed ourselves, but the Vampire Weekend formula seemed to be like, oh, preppy clothes, plus a little bit of like Paul Simon, African guitar. And even some of our early supporters, I think, thought of us as probably a one album band. So it was like very interesting to say, well, what does a second album sound like? What is a third and a fourth? So at this point, we have many songs that don't really fit that early formula. So what makes them Vampire Weekend songs? I don't know. I always know when I start writing a song if it doesn't feel like Vampire Weekend. I think there's usually some type of contrast, whether an emotional contrast or a musical contrast, some sort of like yin and yang quality where opposites go together and are also within each other, something. Yeah, but see, like, now I'm getting so vague. I don't know.
Dying where they lay, a wicked world, just think what could have been. Jerusalem, New York, Berlin.
So Adele, newly single, she's between album cycles, she's hitting the town, dropping some verses. Specifically, Nicki Minaj's verse from Kanye West's song Monster, which a lot of people will tell you is the best thing either Nicki or Kanye have ever done. Adele already rapped the verse in her carpool karaoke, which earned approval from Minaj herself, who wrote on Instagram, "Pull through, queen." What higher praise, right?
Pull on through. Yes.
So when Adele had the opportunity to take the mic at a party in LA recently, she showed the crowd that she still knows the whole rap. Was it caught on video? Of course it was. And it's today's viral clip. Now! And that's this week's music news. You can watch that priceless video and read more about all these stories over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade.
Our producer this week is Anna Wagle. If you enjoy podcasts, The Current Rewind is a winner. This week's episode focuses on the incredible Somali music scene centered on the West Bank neighborhood of Minneapolis. We'll be back next week with more music news headlines.